This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. You know, Rick believes the Lord is using this global pandemic to call us to a deeper love for God and our fellow man. That's why he's bringing us the fourth installment of his series called A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't, taken from the book of James. In a little while, we're going to tell you about how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's DVD study kit called Daring Faith. This powerful tool will inspire you to new heights in your walk of faith with God. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called A Faith That Passes the Test of Life.
Now, for the rest of this message, I want to answer three questions that you have written to me. These came up over and over again. Here are the questions. When do plagues happen in the Bible? Well, first, we live on a planet that's broken. It's broken by sin. The Bible says creation groans. Broken by sin, so nothing works perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfect. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Your relationships don't work perfectly. Disease and death and destruction and decay, these are all out there. We don't live in Eden, or we don't live in heaven where things are perfect. But there are many, many different reasons for the plagues or the pandemics in the Bible. And I'm going to encourage you to go study that on your own, because I can't go through all of the different reasons. But well, let me just show you a couple to show some of the many possibilities or reasons for plagues. God allowed plagues in the Bible, number one, when we ignore God's rules for living. Now, God has given us the owner's manual for life. It's this book. It's the manual for life. When in doubt, read the instructions. And in it, we find all the laws that God established for living a happy, healthy, holy, and productive life. You want to live a happy, healthy, holy, productive life? It's all here. Now, when we follow God's plan, things work out well. But anytime we forget God and we ignore the playbook, then we disobey what God tells us to do, and do whatever we please, then things start falling apart in your life. They fall apart physically, they fall apart emotionally, they fall apart financially, they fall apart relationally, and every other way. You see, we really only hurt ourselves when we doubt God's goodness and when we disobey what he tells us to do. Now, this happened many, many, many times in the Bible. Every time they'd forget God, turn away from God, they'd go into problems. And one of those problems would often be a pandemic. Psalm 106 says this, verse 14 and 15. The people soon forgot God and what he had done for them. And they wouldn't wait for God's plan. Notice that. They got in a hurry. They forgot God, and then they wouldn't wait for God's plan. Instead, they became greedy. And they let their cravings run wild. All kinds of sexual cravings, food cravings, material cravings. They tested God's patience. So, it says, God gave them what they wanted, but he sent a plague along with it. Hello? What just happened here? They're testing God. They wanted to give in to their wild cravings. I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it, sexually, morally, physically, monetarily. And it says they forgot God. So God said, I'll just give you what you want. But he sent a plague along with it. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that there are often unwanted consequences to getting everything we want. It's not always a good thing to get everything you want. So sometimes there was a plague because people just ignored what God said to do, and then there were consequences to it. But there's another reason. Let me give you a second reason plagues happen in the Bible. And it was this. When we allow injustice and inequality. Did you know that? Did you know that this happened in Jeremiah's day? God hates prejudice. God hates injustice. God hates inequality. So he tells the nation of Israel, you guys, you got to set free all of those slaves you've got. Okay? I hate it that you've got people in bondage. You've enslaved people. And he says, you've got to let go of all these slaves. And you know what Israel did? They did it. They let go of all their slaves temporarily. But then they reneged on their promise to God, and they started enslaving people again. This is going on in Jeremiah's time. And that was the final straw for God. He's seen enough of their injustice and treating people inhumanely and without justice. And here's what God tells them in Jeremiah 34, verse 17. God says this, a short time ago, you repented and you did what was right. You freed your countrymen who've been slaves. You even made a covenant with me about this in my temple, showing dignity to everybody. But he said, but now you've changed your mind and you dishonor me. You have enslaved them again in a new slavery. Therefore, here's what I'm going to do. God is ticked off. I hope you can hear the anger in his voice. Since you disobeyed me by not giving freedom to all of your countrymen, I'm going to give you some freedom, quote, I'm going to give you some freedom, the freedom to die by war or plague or famine. And you will be considered a disgrace by the other nations of the world. He said, any nation that keeps people enslaved, keeps people put down, pays them slave wages, he said, you're going to be considered a disgrace by the other nations of the world. Can you hear the anger in God's voice? God hates slavery. He hates it when people are not treated with dignity and when they're deprived of their liberty. Do you know what happened right after God said what I just read to you in Jeremiah? He allowed the Babylonian king, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar, to come in with his armies and take over Israel with his armies and destroy, literally flatten, the city of Jerusalem and take most of the nation captive as slaves back to Babylon, where they would be slaves for the next 70 years. Hello? That would cure Israel permanently of two sins, the sin of slavery and the mistreatment of immigrants, which God had been telling them along too. Okay? So he says, you know what? Sometimes in the Bible, there was a plague because people were being treated unequally, with inequality. And he says, look, if you find a nation that's doing that, they're being set up for a plague. Then let me give you one last one, because there are many, many, okay, possibilities. But when leaders sin and disobey God, it often brings a plague on everybody else. When leaders sin personally and disobey God, everybody who's under their care gets hurt. You know, whenever we're tempted to sin, Satan always lies to us, and because he's the father of lies. And he tells us first that nobody's ever going to know. And because nobody ever is ever going to know of the sin, nobody's ever going to get hurt. And he makes you think that because no one else knows about your secret private sin, it's a personal sin, it's a private sin, and nobody's going to get hurt. But while some sins may be a secret, the effects of them are not. They're not. We always hurt other people, not just ourselves, whenever we sin. Now, this is especially true of leaders, and particularly leaders in some area at different times. Now, everybody is a leader. So you say, well, I'm not a leader. Yes, you are. Everybody's a leader. Sometimes you lead in your friends. Sometimes you lead in your small group. Sometimes you lead in a family. Sometimes you lead a group of people who you just met in the grocery store. And so everybody is leader. When you sin, it always affects other people. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, we have the story of a national plague in Israel that happened because the leader of the nation did something that God had warned him not to do, or there'd be repercussions. Now, who was the leader of that nation? Oh, a guy you're well familiar with, King David. God told David not to do a certain thing, and David pridefully ignored it and did it anyway as the king, as the national leader. And it brought a plague on the entire nation. And you know how many people died? 70,000 people in a plague because of the leader's personal sin. When David realized all the pain that he had caused by his own sin, he was broken. And he humbly cries out to God. Let me show you what he prayed. It's this verse, 1 Chronicles 21:17. 70,000 people have died in a plague, the repercussions of David's sin. And in verse 17, David says this. He prayed to God. Was it not I who ordered this? I'm the one who has sinned. I'm the one who's done wrong. These people are innocent. What have they done? So, oh Lord, my God, let your hand fall upon me and on my family, but don't let this plague remain on all your people. Now, this is a very powerful reminder of how our own actions can actually bring a plague on other people, hurt so many others, if we're not walking in the will of God. You may not be aware of some sin that you've committed that has hurt other people. But if God brings that sin to mind, I encourage you to confess it immediately and to ask for forgiveness. Now, while I've given you these three examples of just different reasons, there are many, many others for plagues, different reasons why plagues happen. I want to warn you, listen closely, as your pastor who loves you, I want to warn you and caution you about presuming that you know the reason why bad things happen, because you don't, and I don't. Most of the time, we have no idea why bad things happen to good people or to bad people. We don't know the reason behind much of the suffering in the world. When people say, why do people suffer? I'm going, I don't know. It's one of the questions on my list for heaven. I don't know. It is presumptuous to even guess. This is what Job's friends did. Job got sick, and he lost everything, and all three friends said, Job, let me tell you why you're sick. Let me tell you why you're in this plague. Let me tell you why you've lost everything. None of them were right. And at the end of the book, God rebukes the friends, going, you guys were talking out of your own ideas. I didn't say that to you. So don't get busy thinking about you know the answer when you see somebody hurting really bad that you know the reason. You don't. Also, at the same time, I want to caution you to ignore anybody else who arrogantly thinks they know the reason for somebody else's suffering. They don't.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional, or if you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Jesus said, "According to your faith will it be done to you." Matthew 9:29. That's an amazing statement. Jesus is saying that you get to choose how much God blesses you and how much God uses you in his plan for the world. So how is that possible? The answer is faith. Daring faith is the key to fulfilling God's will in your life, and it's the secret to experiencing miracles in your life. You'll want to journey with Pastor Rick through the Daring Faith Bible Study as he examines true biblical faith and looks at the lives of people who are commended for their faith in the Bible. If you're ready to break out of your comfort zone and do what God has called you to do, then order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren today. These videos are packed with inspiring teaching that will free you up to become the history maker you were made to be. Be bold, step out of the ordinary, and live a life of daring faith. Right now, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the 6-session Daring Faith DVD and workbook. Get yours right now by calling 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Or go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with 2 R's in the middle, .com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
God tells us in the book of Peter how to actually recognize the judgment of God. 1 Peter 4:17 says this. Look at this verse. For when the time of judgment comes, judgment must begin, who? With who? With the family of God, in the house of God, with God's own family, with God's children. When God's judgment actually does come, he's going to start with Christians, not a bunch of unbelievers. He's not going to arbitrarily go out there and start having a plague that hurts people of all different kinds, people who know and people don't know. The Bible says judgments must begin with the house of God. Well, it didn't start with Christians, and COVID-19 has affected a whole lot more than just believers. But the Bible says in the real judgment of God, we will be first to be judged because we know the most. We're the most accountable. We're the most responsible. So you can put that to rest. Somebody says this is the judgment of God on America. It's wrong for both of those reasons. Now, what should we be doing? That's the second question. What should we be doing during our plague? Well, two things. Keep on continuing these two things. Number one, continue to worship. Okay? Pray. Ask God to end the pandemic. You do what David did when he caused the pandemic. You keep praying until the pandemic ends. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 25. It says this, David built an altar to the Lord, and he gave offerings of worship to God. And the Lord answered his prayer, and the plague was stopped. We need to do what David said to do, what he did. Build an altar in our heart, build an altar in our home, pray, worship God, and ask God to end this. And said God heard David's prayer. He caused it, that particular plague. But the plague was stopped when David worshiped God. Continue to keep worshiping God in your home, in your small group, wherever you can. And the second thing we do is continue to serve other people. Continue to serve other people. And of course, during this pandemic, there's so many people with needs right now. Every kind of need you can imagine. And if you can volunteer, if you have the time to do that, we need you to volunteer if you can. You know, in my study this week, when I studied all of the plagues in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there was interesting, one particular verse stood out to me that I thought represents what God wants each of us to do during these days. It's in the book of Numbers, chapter 16. It's verse 48. And it's one of the other plagues. It's when Moses and Aaron were leading the children of Israel. And it says in Numbers chapter 16, verse 48, during this plague, it says, Aaron the priest, you know, we're all priests. That's what the Bible says in Peter, that you don't have to go to a priest to confess. You can confess directly to God. Every believer is a priest, the priesthood of every believer. Aaron the priest stood between the living and the dead until the plague was stopped. I think that's a job description for every Christian right now. Let me close with this. You know, yesterday, a man paid my wife a compliment that I wish could be said of every Christian. I wish it could be said of you. Kay was told this compliment by a man. He said, you know, Kay, You don't wear your faith as armor for protection. You wear your faith as a fragrance. That's a good line. I want that to be said about you. I want that to be said about me, that wherever you go, you're not wearing your faith as a defensive armor to argue and fight with people and put them down, but you wear your faith as a fragrance that makes people want to know Jesus, that you are attractive. So let me ask you, I'll close with this question. How are you wearing your faith? How are you wearing your faith? Now, I want to pray for you, but first, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, you don't really have the internal power to do what we've just talked about. And so let's bow our heads together. And if you've never opened your life to Christ, just say something like this. God, I want to get to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. Jesus Christ, I want to learn to trust you and love you. Thank you that you died for me. Help me to understand that. Help me to understand my purpose in life. I ask you to forgive all the things I've done wrong, and I ask you to accept me into your home in heaven when I die, because I've trusted you. I want to learn to love you more every day, and I open my life to you. I pray this in your name. Amen. Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus. And I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com to listen again, to find out more about this ministry, and to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. Rick's going to be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Now, if you'd like to step out of an ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith, then you're going to want to order the Daring Faith DVD and Study Kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith Study Kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's 6 sessions in the Daring Faith Study Kit, and it'll teach you these 6 things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith Study Kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today and join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Today, when you support this ministry with a financial gift, we'll send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit.
a 6-session DVD and workbook. As our way of saying thanks, go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.